Okay, we're starting here on the top of Ted Zayin Amud Aleph. Yesterday we left off with the question of Ilfa, which is Yadayim Torot Techatzayin, Oein Torot Techatzayim. Can you be Metaher hands by halves? On the bottom of yesterday's daf, the Gemara was trying to figure out what exactly the question was. Gemara concluded that the question was about the ability to be Metaher one's hands in halves. Meaning that can you do from the wrist to the knuckles, and then the knuckles to the tip of the fingers? Are you able to mitahir your hands in such a manner, wash your hands in such a manner? Now, the Gemara says it's a case when there's still liquid or still moisture left on the first half that you wash, in order that there be some sort of connection between the two halves or the washing of the two halves. The Gemara then brings a Mishnah v'atnan, hanitzok v'katafreis u'mashket tofeach eno chibur lo lutuma v'lo lutahara. That when we deal with certain types of water flows, they do not act as a connector between two different bodies of water. The nitzok is water that's in motion, like being poured. Katafres is water that's on some sort of decline, incline, which causes the water to move. Umashket tofeach is that it is moist in that area, but it's not enough that there's actual water there, or that if you touch it, you'll become wet. Just moisture on that area. None of those are chibur, lo lutuma. Velo litahara. Rashi over here says that the issue is talking about mikvaot, where you have two mikvaot that don't have sufficient sa'ah, sufficient volume in them to be mikvaot ksherim, which would be 40 sa'ah in each mikveh. So if you have two mikvaot, one that is 20 sa'ah, one that's 20 sa'ah, can you connect between those two mikvaot in order for it to be a kosher mikveh? So Rashi says over here that none of these items serve as a connector to be mitahir, or to create a mikveh from the two bodies of water that are 20 sa each, to connect them, make them into a single body of 40 sa'ah. And with regards to tumah, if you have liquids that are tmeim, and then you have another body of liquids that are tehorim, these will not serve as connections to bring the tumah from the body of water that is tameh to the water body that is tahor. That's the way that Rashi explains it over here. The Tosafot, both the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri, speak about this extensively because of the nature of these connections and the different places that they appear. Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Ta'ocha Mayri Dafka B'Shtei Gomemiyot, Shebezu Esrim, Ubezu Esrim, Teleka Mikveh Shalem Bechad Bifnei Atzma, Tula V'Chibur, Ve'in Matbilim Afilu B'Tachtona, Aval Hotam D'Ika Bemzeit Mikveh Shalem, The Rabbeinu Tam says, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda don't argue except in a case where you have three bodies of water. You have a middle body of water that has 40 sa'ah, a lower body of water that has 20 sa'ah, and an upper body of water that has 20 sa'ah. And he says that everybody agrees that the lower mikveh is a kosher mikveh because of its connection to the 40 sa'ah. The only question is, do we say good asik, which means that do we say that you can travel upwards, and therefore is the upper mikveh kasher or not kasher? But that's only because the middle mikveh has a full 40 sa'ah in it. So that's why in this case here, it's specifically speaking about two mikvaot that do not have a full mikveh. And then each one of them is 20 sa'ah, and that's why none of these can function as a connection. As opposed to the case that the Rabbeinu Tam just spoke about, where when you have the middle mikveh being a full-fledged mikveh, then the katafres can serve as a connection between these two mikveh, between the middle mikveh and the lower mikveh. So katafres is a chibur when you have a full-fledged mikveh and you're trying to attach to it a smaller or less than 40 sa mikveh, but here where you're trying to generate a mikveh to start with, a full tahor mikveh, katafres does not work. In addition to that, the Rabbeinu Tam says, "Kemin shemayim alvishon tzufam lipol v'leirid mikvah v'katafres chibur." Says that katafres is more likely to be a connection than a case of nitzok, because by katafres, where it's on a decline, the water eventually will reach the lower body of water. So you're more likely to assume that something like that is a connection versus a nitzok, where when you're pouring the water, it's in the air. Since it's suspended in the air at that point in time, it's not a chibur, even though in the end that water will end up at the lower space, but because when you're talking about it, that water is suspended in the air, that is not as good a connection, and that's why katafres will be considered a connection in the case where you have the middle mikveh that's kasher, while his nitzok would not function as a connection. Now, the question that's asked by the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri is, Mishnayot tell us in Mikvaot that the way you connect between two Mikvaot is if you have a hole that is between them, that is Kishvoferet Anod, which is the size of a Shvoferet Anod, or in the other words, two fingers through that you can turn around inside of it. That's the size of hole you need between two Mikvaot in order to be a connection between the Mikvaot. So why over here are we talking about little flows of water, moisture being connections? If, in order to connect between mikvot, you need a full-fledged hole between them in order for them to be connected. So the Rabbeinu Tam distinguishes and says that that is only in a case where there's a mechitza between them. If you have a full-fledged mechitza between the two mikvot, then in order to connect between these two mikvot, you need a hole in between them. That is kishpeferet anod. Otherwise, if you have water flowing, then tofeach amanat ladfiach, which we're going to see in a second, is sufficient grounds for connecting between the mikvot. The Ri disagrees and says that that's not the case, but rather, the Ri says that this din of Shvaferet Anod is to do with Hashaka, which is when either when you're trying to be Mitaher, a non-kosher mikveh, or you're trying to be Tovel something and connect between the water bodies. And that's what we use today, actually, in order to make our mikvot. Our mikvot are really made out of Mayim Shuvim that is flowed through a channel into the mikveh, but they're technically not made mikveh. And every mikveh that they have a central bore, which is the collected 40 sa'ah of rainwater. And between that central bore and all the mikveh that are around, they have a hole that is kishuferet anod that they open up in order to be mitaher, the mikveh that are on the round that are surrounding it, bahashaka. And then once they're finished with that, they seal it up. But there's only one central collection point, but that way you can change out the waters on the other mikvaot, when they get dirty or when they need to be changed. Plus, you can be mitaher them. You don't have to collect rainwater for every one of the mikvaot. So that is the methodology that we actually use today. But the Ri says that that's where it comes into play with hashaka, is where it comes to play. And then when it says here that the nitzok is not a good chibur, that's the inyan oshoko. But the inyan tikkun mikveh, that isn't a problem in terms of the nitzok. Chiburim mitim mikvaot, it can work through katafreis. That's talking about just connecting mikvaot, but not the case of hashaka. That's the difference between the cases where we say that these work to be mechaber mikvaot versus cases where we're dealing with trying to be mitaher, a mikveh that is made out of waters that are not may mikveh, that are not rainwater. So that's how he solves this incongruence between the need for a shvofer at the node versus what our Gemara here is talking about in terms of connections of mikvaot. Alright, so now the Gemara continues and says, okay, lo tzrika. No, the case here by the hands is the ika tofeach latfiach. The amount of moisture that's left on his hand is not just moisture left on the hand, but it's enough moisture on the hand that if you touched it, the other object would then become moist. And that's enough water to consider possibly that you're still in the midst of washing your hands. Remember, the Tana de Beit Rabbi Yannai said, you can't wash your hands by halves. You can only wash them as a whole. So what we need is that when you're washing the second half of the hand, that the washing of the first half of the hand is still, quote-unquote, in motion. So if that's the case, you could be considered as if you're washing your whole hand. So Gemara says, maybe, what the suggestion is here is if you have enough moisture on there that it's tofeach, amanat latfiach, maybe you're still considered to be washing both halves of the hand, and you could do each half separately in that case. So Gemara says, hanamitanina, that we also have as a Mishnah, tofeach latfiach, chibur. So we have a Mishnah that specifically states that that is a chibur when it comes to tofeach latfiach, which is what we were just saying before. The Mishnah that we brought says that tofeach is not a chibur. We're going to see that tofeach latfiach is a chibur. So also over here, by the hands, it should be a chibur. The Gemara says, Dilma the Indian mikvot, Rabbi Yehudahi. Maybe that is only true when you're talking about a mikveh, according to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that that extends to Netilat Yadayim as well, because they're functioning in different ways. Because Netilat Yadayim is a different takanat chachamim than the din of mikvot. And it's not. We have a Mishnah, mikveh sheyesh bo arbim sa'ah mekuvanot. If you have a mikveh that has exactly 40 sa'ah in it, v'yardu shnayim v'tavlu. Two people go into the mikveh in order to become tahor. B'zecher zeh. They did it sequentially, not simultaneously. Rishon tahor, the first one who goes in is tahor because he entered into a mikveh with 40 sa'ah. Vasheni tamei. The second one is tamei because when the first one leaves the mikveh, he leaves with some of the water of the mikveh. So now there's less than 40 sa'ah. The second individual is Tamei. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, imayu raglav shel rishon nogot b'mayim. If the first individual's foot is still attached to the water, af hasheni tahor. Even the second one is tahor because of the din of good achit, that we assume that the water that is on the body of this individual is actually in the mikveh, and that chibur makes it that the mikveh is kasher. So now this case that we're talking about here is a case of tofeach not tadfiach, and a case where there is a chibur. But it might only be true in the case of mikvaot. We don't know if we can extend it to yadayim. That was the question of Ilpa. Can you extend this same concept into the world of yadayim, where you wash half the hand, then when there's still enough moisture left on it, you wash the second half of the hand, is that considered to be washing the whole hand or not? So, Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Hare Amru, we have a Mishnah in Zavin that says, Abar Rosho Verubo Vamayim Shuvim, Vitahor Shenaflu Arosho Verubo Shlosha Lugim Mayim Shuvim, Tamei. So here we have a halachot. These halachot actually derive from the Shmona Asar Takanot that the Chachamim made, which is in the Gemara, the first parak in Shabbat, which were really revolving around Truma and Tuma'ah. These were part of those Takanot, Shmona Asar Davar, the 18 things that Chazal were gozer in the beginning of Masechet Shabbat. Now, in this case, they had a problem, which is very apparent if you live in Israel, which is during the rainy season, you get rain. During the summer, you get no rain. So if you have to fill up a mikveh, you can only fill up a mikveh during the rainy season. During the summertime, there's no filling of the mikveh because there is no rainwater. That means that the water sits from roughly around Pesach all the way till Sukkot time. That means if you create a mikveh through rainwater, a bor, if you go up to places like Masada, you go in Yerushalayim by the southern excavations, you go into the up in the house of the Kohanim, it's in the wall center, you can see large mikvot, and they were made to collect water during the rainy season. But that means that people were going to the mikveh from Pesach until Sukkot in that water. So you can imagine what the water looked like. There was no chlorine in those days inside the water. The water, by the time you got to Sukkot, was extremely dirty, maybe even putrid, and you had to go to the mikveh in that water. So anybody who went into that water afterwards, what would they want to do? They want to wash off right away because they went into water that was disgusting, putrid, and so they would wash themselves off afterward. What the Chachamim were afraid of is that once you do this, what are people going to think? They're going to think that the Ikar Tara comes from the washing afterwards, not from the mikveh. Because you're washing yourself off from the mikveh, it makes it feel like that the whole Tara process is really coming from the clean water that you're pouring on afterwards. So therefore they were gozer. There are two pieces to the gzerah. One is Abba Rosho Vrubo Vamayim Shuvim, person whose head and roof of his body enters into a body of water that is Mayim Shuvim. Mayim Shuvim means drawn water. It doesn't literally mean drawn water, it just means water that's not kosher for a mikveh. So if you do that, you become Tamei Litruma. That's the gzerah here, that a person who does this remains Tamei for Truma. V'tahor, Shenaflu Arosho Vrubo Shlosha Lugim Mayim, or the equivalent of a shower, rather than going to a bath, if they pour on you 3 log of mayim shuvim, you're also tamei. Again, essentially to prevent the problem that we just discussed, these were both put in place, because, as Rashi says over here, doli loha lo kaimiha. If he didn't stop them from pouring the water on top of them, they also wouldn't hold the gzerah about going to the bath, because you could avoid it or you could skirt it by simply pouring the water on yourself instead of going into the water. So in order to prevent that problem, they created these two gzerot, which make you tamei l'truma, in order to prevent this misconception, or possible misconception, that the water is afterwards being mitaher you. Now, there is a machloket amongst the Rishonim as to when that applies. You can see this by Tosafot. He says, Dal tfu yom dafka gazrua bibia, v'kosh kemi tfila, aval tahor dafka binifila. Tosafot over here says that the whole gzeirah only applies to a tvoyom, someone who is tamei, and becoming tohor in the mikveh. That's who it applies to. But if you are completely tohor and you haven't gone to the mikveh, are you subject to these restrictions? So Tosafot says you're not subject to the restriction of going into the mikveh itself, but the one of pouring it on your head or taking a shower, that one would still have application. So Tosafot says that one of the gzeirot exists even for a person who's tohor. The other gzeirah is only for someone who is tamei. There are Rishonim who say that it doesn't apply at all unless you went to the mikveh, because that's the whole point of the gzeira. And therefore, if you're completely tor, there's no application whatsoever here, and you won't become tamei. The other rishonim would say that it's irrelevant. It's whether you were tamei and became tor, whether you're tor legamri. If you get involved with maim shuvim, then you are going to be tamei l'truma, midrabanan, and you're going to have to go to the mikveh. So you have this span of rishonim from one side to the other about when it's applicable. And here you see Tosfot explaining why he thinks that nefilah is more so or more problematic than dipping in, because he says ma'ase shekachaya v'yunotim alehem shloshah lugim ma'im shuvim, that they upheld that gzera even for Torim, because that was the more likely scenario, probably because of the order of the gzerot, that maybe the first one was about going into water afterwards, and the next one came to pouring water on top of you. Because in their day, the way they bathed was to enter into the water. Pouring water on you was less likely. When they moved to do that, that they made the gzera on that, and he says that covers all cases of even when you are a tohor. So now, in a case like that, the question is being posed by Bayi Rabbi Yirmiyah. Chetzio bebiyah v'chetzio benefilah, my. Same type of a genre of question that we've been asking until now. If half of his body is inside of a bath of Mayim Shuvim, and the other half of the body is getting water poured on him, so each half of his body is subject to one of these two gzeirot, can they combine to make him into a tamei? My. What's the din? Teiku, unresolved. We don't know which way it would go here if you have half and half. Amra papa, hare amru, balkeri choleh, shenatnu alav tisha kabin mayim tohor. This is otherwise known as tisha kabin. Tisha kabin is a amount of water that if you pour on the individual will be mitaher the individual. It's a kula by a balkeri. A balkeri is tamei midoraita, but that tumah midoraita only prevents him from eating kodesh, entering into the mikdash, meaning that its limitations are only applicable when you're talking about the mikdash or you're talking about kodesh. Outside of that, a balkeri's tumah does not really have relevance. Ezra was mitakein that a balkeri would have to go to the mikveh in order to daven and in order to learn Torah. That takana of Ezra was put in place to stop talmidei chachamim from spending so much time with their wives, because they'd have to go to the mikveh each time afterwards. It was part of a process also of tahara, to keep extra tahara. That takana of Ezra existed for a while and then fell by the wayside. It was not accepted by the rule of Bnei Israel. And therefore, the halacha in the end, we don't prevent people from davening or learning Torah when they are balkerim. As part of that takana, they realized that there were certain people who couldn't get to the mikveh. So in order to facilitate their ability to learn Torah, to daven, and so on and so forth, they allowed this dispensation, which is if the balkeri was choleh, that you could pour 9 kav of mayim on top of them, mayim shuvim, and then they would become tehorim. And that would be the way to become tohor from this tuma derabanan of balkeri. So, by the way, there's just a problem, and that is that the gzeira, the shlosh lugim of ma'im shuvim, make you tamei. Shlosh lugim are significantly less than 9 kav, and that means already pour the 9 kav, you're going to become tamei because you're in violation of the gzeira, the shlosh lugim. So, the rishonim over here deal with that in different ways. Some suggest that that gzeira is only from 3 log until tisha kabin. Once you hit tisha kabin, that gzeira is no longer relevant because now you're entering into a different world of tara. That's one. The other possibility is that this, as it says here, is only a dispensation for a choleh. So by a choleh, they gave a dispensation because it's an unusual case. It's lo shchicha, and therefore the gzeira of shlosh lugim doesn't apply, and only tisha kabin works over here. That's another way to deal with it. The other possibility is that by the case of mayim shlosh lugim, mayim shuvim, it has to be naflu al rosho v'al rubo. It has to be on his head and the robe of his body. So you could create it a way where you do the tisha kabin without getting on his head, but only getting onto his body. So maybe you can avoid the gzeira by using the tisha kabin in a way that avoids the problems that are by the shlosh lugim. Or another possibility is that the whole takana was instituted for a choleh to be able to daven and learn Torah. That doesn't mean that he's tohor from truma. The gzeirot were about truma. So he remained tmeah for truma because of the shlosh ha'mayim shuvim, but it'll be tohor leitpalel or divrei Torah because of the tisha kabin that were poured on him. For one of those reasons, this is not a problem there. And today, tisha kabin are used in situations, for instance, when they have to do a tahara on a mate and they don't have a mikveh, they use tisha kabin as a way to to be mitahar the mate before they bury them because of the difficulty of getting a mikveh in certain locations. Today, you can use the tisha kabin, I guess, through the shower. If you take a shower, then technically you have tisha kabin mamayim shuvim poured on you. If this has applications besides for a chule, it could help. Otherwise, today, it's become, again, more popular to go to the mikveh every day or go to the mikveh after one is a belkeri to be become tahor, like the takanav Ezra. Vayra papa, chetzio betvila, vechetzio bentnina, mai. If he's mitahar himself by putting half his body into a kosher mikveh, and the other half of body has tisha kabin poured on him. So again, can you combine different forms of tahara? Again, what's the din? Teiko? We don't know. So all of these questions are of a similar nature or genre, which is you're using either two types of takanat chochamim or using two methodologies of tahara. Can you combine them to be mitahar oneself? If you use it fully, we know it works. Question is, if you use half and half, does it work? In all of these latter cases, the questions remain as a teiku. Okay, now we move on to the Mishnah, later on in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Echad omer b'fanai nechtav, v'chad omer b'fanai nechtam. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Lo shanu ela she'ein haget yotzei mitachat yidei shnehem. The only problem we have in the Mishnah when two different individuals tell us, one says b'fanai nechtav, and one says b'fanai nechtam, that it doesn't work, that's only the case when only one of them is the shaliach. But if both of them are the shlichim for the get, then it works. If a get yotzei mitachat yidei shnehem, if the get comes from both of them, then it's a case it is kasher. Rashi takes this very literally, and he says, what does it mean, mitachat yidei shnehem? Rashi writes over here, shneim adukim bo, shneim shluchim. They're both holding the get, and they are both shluchim. So Rashi takes the lashon here extremely literally, that they're both carrying the get here to bring it to the beitin. On the other hand, you can see in the Tosafot that he thinks that that's way too a literal understanding of it. He says, Masha perish b'kunshe, sh'shem adukim bo lav davka. That doesn't literally mean you have to be both holding on to it. Shein sarich shi'u mamash sh'nehem adukim bo chzim b'get, el sh'shnehem omrim sh'abala sh'shnehem shluchim akach. They just both need to say that we are messengers of the Baal. Now, Tosafot also brings an additional case here, which is im ha'echad shliach. If one of them is a shliach, v'sheni me'id, shebefanav natan abal to get the chaviro lolich, the ishto, if you have here a case where one of them is a shliach for the get, and the other one is testifying about the fact that that individual is a shliach, the get, so he says over here, the rova kasher, demayim ru befanenu girsha. So according to that, he says, according to rova, that would be totally fine. You don't literally need both of them to be shlichim of the get. You just need both of them to be connected somehow to the get. The first one's connected because he is the shliach. The second one's connected because he's testifying that the first one is a shliach. And through that, they gain a connection to the get. Because Rava only requires that you have edim mitzuim. And that's what you have here. You have edim mitzuim because both of them are connected to the get and know that the get was sent by the Baal. So now we have two edim to that fact. For Rava, you're fine. The Rava, he says, afilu lachar shlamdu ein lachshir kevin shein shneim shluchim. Rabbah needs literally to be shluchim in order for them to have a status to opine about the lishma aspects of the get. Even after we know that they learned lishma and it wasn't a problem anymore, the gzeirav shema yagzor lekukulo says that each one of them must be a shliach in order to gain status in this case. Because dafka b'shneim shluchim, I mean in perakama, the kosher of the Rabbah, according to Rabbah, only literally, if both of them are shluchim, are they considered to be good? Because that is a case, milta de lo shchicha, as we said in the first parak. Since a milta de lo shchicha, we're not gozer in that case because of the lishma aspect. So Tosafot here does two things. One, he says, is don't take Rashi literally. They don't both have to be holding on to the get. Number two is they both don't literally have to be shlichim. One can be a shliach, and one can be an aid to the fact that the other one is a shliach, because then both of them are knowledgeable of the fact that the Baal sent it to this woman, and that's enough. You have two edim to that effect, then you have edim mitzuyim, and you're fine. So that would work according to Rabbah. According to Rabbah, you need it literally that both of them be shlichim in order to make it a milta de lo shchicha, where they didn't worry about lishma anymore. But if they're both not literally shlichim, then it doesn't work in that case. So that's a Tosafot just clarifying or interpreting it slightly differently than Rashi does over here. So now the get is kasher. So Alma, it must be kasavar shnaim sheviu get min medinat hayam ein tzrichim shomar b'faneinu nechtav u'b'faneinu nechtam. It's clear from here that if two people are bringing a get from overseas, what you learn from this statement is that they do not need to say that lashona b'faneinu nechtav ubifaneinu nechtam, because otherwise it would not be kasher. Like the Mishnah says, if one says bifanai nechtav and one says bifanai nechtam, it doesn't work. Over here, what we're saying is that if shnayim sheyaviu, it does work. So as Rashi explains over here, the taima mishum she'ein edim mitzuim lekaimo. The whole reason here is because there are no edim around to be mekayimit. Very edim mitzuim lekaimo, and that's what we have here. On the other hand, v'kasha came in the sof shnayim heim malei he shnayim shluchim malei he echad mehem hare edim mitzuim lekaimo. Why does it matter that they're both shluchim? Or one of them is a shliach and one of them knows the information. In the end, what we want is two edim that are here. In either case, that's what you have, two edim that are here. Lo polug rabbanim ben bayim chaburat anashim labay yechidi. The chamim in establishing their gzeirah did not differentiate between a single individual bringing a get or a multiple individuals bringing a get. Deim avchinu budek be'elo lo la muchacha milta. We don't check which ones do, don't know, because it's not clear. If you're makshir in the case where you have multiple people bringing it and only one of them is saying bifanai nechtav and then another one saying bifanai nechtam, I will say, it's good. But kishnayim eviu milta de mukha velo shchichahi. We have two people who bring it together. That's an unusual event. Velo achmur bar rabbanan. The rabbanan were not machmir there and did not require bifaneinu nechtav u bifaneinu nechtam. So Rashi here distinguishes between cases in which both of them are shluchim. That's an unusual case. That's so unusual that the chamim didn't even necessitate bifanai nechtav or bifanai nechtam. Then we, as two edim, are sufficient in order to have edim mitzuyim po, and that's it. Whereas, if he comes and he's only one shliach, even though there are other edim over here, according to Rashi, that does not work because single aid is always a single aid because he's a shliach. And the Chamim said, no matter what, you have to say b'fanai nechtam when you're a single shliach. Doesn't matter how many other parties are with you, how many other edim are with you. B'fanai nechtam works this way. Because if we give you dispensations when there are other parties here, people are not going to be so astute as to note the fact that here there were extra parties, that's why we let it go, versus a case where it's just one aid, they're going to let it go as well. And so in order to ensure that it's always b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam, they go there. Anytime there's only one shliach, you have to say it. If you don't say it, it does not work. That's how Rashi distinguishes between cases of two shlichim versus one shliach plus other edim, where seemingly for Rava it should be indifferent. You have edim mitzuyim. And what he says is that's not the case. By the case of shlichim, that's unusual, therefore Rava wasn't go there at all. In a case when you have one shliach and multiple edim, that's a low plug, and Rova was gozer in that case, and you have to say b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam. So what the Gemara says now is that here, based on this, when you have shnayim sheviu at the get, we don't need the b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam. It works without that. So just note that Tosfot over here also says that this is not only applicable to Rova, but it's also applicable to Rabo. Rashi says over here is because ein edim mitzuyim lekaimo makes it sound like this is all according to Rova, and not according to Rabbah. What Tosfot points out over here is, afilu manda amar, the fish ain't bikin lishma, ayri hachi, de lachar shalam du. After everybody knows that lishma was prevalent, and they just are worried about shemi yakzora davar le kiukulo, he says, bebei trei lo shkiach, in the case where you have two shlichim, that's not a common case, lo gazrin and shemi yakzora davar le kiukulo. Also, similarly, they were not gozer, that maybe it'll go back to the old way, and therefore you have to say, bifanai nechtav, bifanai nechtam. What Tosfot is saying is that, this statement is not only according to Rova, it's even according to Rabbah. That this issue of it being unusual when you have two edim is sufficient grounds to suspend the need for Fanai Nechtav and Fanai Nechtam, both according to Rova, who needs edim mitzuyim, as well as Rabbah, who requires lishma, not the original lishma, because that would be a problem, but rather in the case where they already became lishma, and we're just worried about Shema Yavzor Adavar Lekil Kulo. Maybe it'll go back to the old ways. So to over here, Rabbo would say that if it's an unusual case like this, there is no gzeirah, and it's milta de lo shchicha, like we saw in the first parak, and there would be no need for the gzeirah. Okay, so they do not have to say b'faneinu nechtav, b'faneinu nechtam, but they do have to testify to something. So what are they testifying to? So that your question is a relevant question because there are other rishonim who disagree with Rashi and say the reason here you don't need b'faneinu nechtav, b'faneinu nechtam is similar to what Tosafot said in the first parak. Tosafot Reed says it over here, which is that once you have two edim here coming to say that they are shlichim of the Baal, the Baal can no longer be Me'arar on the get, because you have two people saying that the Baal made them into a Shliach. If the Baal made two people into Shlichim, they are two Edim, and the Baal's claim will not trump two Edim. So other Rishonim believe the reason that you don't need B'faneinu Nechtav V'neinu Nechtam here is because we have two Edim to the fact that the Baal sent this. And therefore our whole fear all along is that the Baal is going to come and say, cast aspersions on this get. He no longer can do that. And that's why you don't need B'faneinu Nechtav V'neinu Nechtam to make it as if they are two Edim, because they are two Edim to the fact that the Baal made them into a Shliach. So Tosfot asks your question back on Da'af Edom with Bet. He says, why can't you say here that they were appointed as Shlichim, and all the Baal is going to do is going to show up and say it wasn't done Lishma, or there was some other problem that the Edim could not be aware of by them making him into a Shlichim. Why don't they say that? So Tosfot back on Bet says, we're not Choshesh that the Baal would be Machshila in that way. Tosfot says that we're not Choshesh that the Baal will intentionally cause the Ein Chashud HaChshila. That's what he says in Da'af Edom with Bet. That the Baal is not chashud to do something like that, where he sends a fake get, or an improper get, with shlichim, pretending that it's a real get, to cause a problem for the woman. So Tosfot says, we're not worried about that case. Even though that's a possibility, what you're saying is true, it is a possibility that that could happen, Tosfot says that we don't worry about that. We don't assume people are evil, and that they're going to send a get that's going to allow this woman to get married, and then he's going to come and say, ah, it's not a real get. We do worry about the fact that he says that they were never shlichim, or I never sent this get. That you could worry about. And therefore, if you have two Edim saying that he made them into Shlichim, that worry goes away. Tosfot says a similar thing on Daf Bet, and that's how some of the other Rishonim explain it vis-a-vis what Rashi says. Rashi says over here, it's Edim Mitzuyim, and therefore two is sufficient. Others suggest that it's not about Edim Mitzuyim, it's all about the fact that the whole problem, the whole Chashash here is the Baal coming. That goes away when you have two Edim to the fact that they were made into Shlichim. Then there's no longer a question that the Baal can come and question the validity of this get. What they have to see will depend on which approach you are taking. Tosfot speculates over here that maybe it would be the case that Rava says it's okay over here because Echad Amar Ala Ktiva, V'Echad Amar Ala Chatima. Maybe the reason here that two Edim work is not because two Edim work and you don't have to say B'Faneinu Nechtam, B'Faneinu Nechtam, but rather because when they are two, one of them said it on the B'Faneinu Nechtam, one of them said it on the B'Faneinu Nechtam, and that's why it works over here. Tosfot dispels that because he says you'd still have a problem. Our fear is that you're going to mix this up with Kiyum Shtarot in general, and you're going to think that one aid is sufficient for Kiyum Shtarot. He says, because since we only have one of the two Edim speaking about the Chatima, that's a classic case of where you could get mixed up with the Kiyum Shtarot. Even though there's another individual speaking about the Ktiva, he's separate. And so then people might make the mistake. And that's why he says that the conclusion of the Gemara here is that you must not have to say B'faneinu Nechtav B'faneinu Nechtam in those cases. Amalei Abayi. So Abayi says, L'me'ata Seifa. What are you going to do with the latter after the Mishnah, the Tani? Shnaim Omrim B'faneinu Nechtav. Ve'achad Omer B'fanai Nechtam Pasul. That case is Pasul. Rav Yehuda Machshir. Taima. What's the reason? It must be they didn't get Yotzei Mitachat Yidei Shnehem. Must be because the get is not coming from both Shlichim. Had the get come from both of them, even the Rabbonim would be Makshir. So I'm relating in. So he says, yes, that's correct. But my plige. So he says, then once you establish the fact that if the get was coming from both Shlichim, then even the Rabbonim would agree in a case where you have two of them saying B'fanai Nechtav and one of them saying B'fanai Nechtam, that is a kosher get. And it's not just Rabbi Yehuda, even the Rabbonim would agree with that. That means that the case in the Seifa must be a case that they both didn't bring it. Only one of them was a Shliach. And now you have a Machloket. You have a Machloket where the Rabbanan say that is a not kosher get, which is what we would assume. But Rabbi Yehuda says it is a kosher get. So now how do we explain that? Mar Savar Gazrinan Dilma Atiyah Chlufe B'Kiyum Shtarot Ba'alma Be'ed Echad. One of them, meaning the Chachamim, worry about the fact that the Kiyum Shtarot here will get mixed up with Kiyum Shtarot in other places, and you would think, just like an Eid Echad is sufficient over here, an Eid Echad would be sufficient in other places. Umar Sabar, Lo Gazrinan. And Rabbi Yehuda believes that we are not Grozer. Why? Kevin that Tzrichina Trei Achrine B'Mekomo Asude Aktiva Tulo Lo Atule Achlufe. So as opposed to the case by Tosfot, where you have one testifying on the Ktiva and one testifying about the Chatima, there's still a risk that you'd mix it up with Kiyum Shtarot. Over here, where you're requiring two to testify about the Ktiva and then one to testify about the Chatima, over there, you're not going to get that mixed up with Kiyum shtarot de alma. And therefore over here we would let it go through and say that it is a good get, even though we don't have two edim testifying about the chatimah, we don't have two edim that are shlichim. The whole problem, or the whole reason we need both of them to be shlichim and to testify over here is because we want to connect between the ketiva and the chatima to differentiate it from regular kiyum shtarot. So over here, what Rabbi Yehuda says is, okay, you have one aid by the chatima, but since you have two aidim by the ketiva, that will prevent that confusion from happening because we require two aidim by the ketiva. And that in of itself will prevent the confusion. The Chachamim still say you have one aid by the chatima, that will result in confusion, and therefore we won't let it go through in this case. So then the Gemara says, lishna achrina. Here's another version of how to explain this case in the Mishnah, which is Amri La Amar from Shmuel Bar Yehuda Amar Rabbi Yochanan. If you get, you'd say mitachad yichdei shnehem pasul. The opposite of what we said before, that if there are two shlichim, we said before that that get would be kasher, and you don't have to say b'fanenu nichtav b'fanenu nechtam. Over here, it's a case where the Gemara is saying no. Even if you have both of them appointed as shlichim, it's still pasul. Alma kasavar shneim sheviu get mibdinat ayam. What you see from here is that even when you have two individuals bringing it from overseas, they have to say b'faneinu nichtav b'faneinu nechtam. And since they don't say that, only one of them is saying b'fanei nichtav and one of them is saying b'fanei nechtam, that does not suffice in this case because there's no single aid that is telling us both pieces of information. And that's why the get would be pasul over here. Amar Abaye elamiato. That's the case, Seifa Diktoni, in the Seifa when it says, Shnaim Omrim Bifaneinu Nechtav, Vechad Omer Bifanei Nechtam Pasul. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. Afilu Get Yotzei Mitachad Yedei Shehem Pasle Rabbanan. That case in the Seifa is even when both of them are Shlichim over there, the Rabbanan would still be Pusel in that case, because that's what we just saw. That even when you have two Edim that are Shlichim, it still doesn't work. Amalein, that's right. So he says, Ramai Kam Iflegei. Then, what are they arguing about? The way Rashi says it is, why is Rabbi Yehuda Machshir over here? Tosfot over here says, why don't you just say what you said in the first place, that Ate Lechlufe is the Machloket. Just like in the first case we said Ate Lechlufe is Machloket, say the same thing over here. The Machloket here between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda is whether there's enough grounds here to say that there's a problem Ate Lechlufe. So Tosfot says, over me, Debishlam Alishna Kamo. So, in the case of the Lishna Kama, Kevin Dana get Yotzei Elamitachek Aid Chatima, Mukhuk Milta Mishum De Aid Chatima Neaman Bechidi, the Fush Shliach Get. So, therefore, Matzrichinen Aktiva Trey, Mishum Lo Davish Luchim. First case where the Get's Chatima is being verified or validated by a single aid, there we require that two aidim testify to the Ktiva in order to validate the get here and make it that it won't be mixed up with kiyum shtarot because there is only one shaliach over here. Aval in this lishna, where both of them are shlichim, so then you have to worry about getting mixed up because here the aid that is me'id on the ktiva, he's also a shliach get. So therefore, both of them are shliach get, then maybe because there was a shliach to testify about the ktiva and a shliach about the chatima, that's why it worked, but eid echad works. They didn't really need the two edim because one of the guys who testified about the ktiva is also a shliach of the get. So over there, Tosfot says, you clearly would get mixed up in that case, and even Rabbi Huda would agree that there's a possibility of mix-ups in this case when both of them are shlichim of the get, because the eid chatima is a single aid, is doing the kiyum ashtar, and that'll get mixed up with regular kiyum shtarot. Ah, what about the ktiva with two? You just say, well, the reason that the ktiva works is because there's also, he was a shliach there. And then you would come to think that once a person is a shliach, they can testify about the ktiva, the chatima. They will cause you problems by kiyum shtarot, and even Rabbi Yehuda would agree. And therefore, they can't answer the same way that they answered before. So now, what Gemara says, what's the machloka then? But my kamiflegei, mar savar lefi she'en bikim lishma, mar savar lefi she'en edim mitzuyim lekaimo. So, the machloka between them is, what is the reason for the need for b'fanai nechtav and b'fanai nechtav? Chachamim believe, that is that they're not b'kiyum lishma. And therefore, when you have two that bring the get, you still need to say b'fanai nechtav b'fanai nechtam, because the issue is not about the presence of edim, the issue is about whether it was written lishma. That's irrespective of how many people are bringing the get. We still need to know that the get was done lishma. And therefore, even when you have two edim bringing it, they still need to say b'fanai nechtav b'fanai nechtam. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda believes that the reason for a get is in Eidim Mitzuyim. The reason that we were mitakin this is because in Eidim Mitzuyim, over here you don't have that problem because you have two Eidim that are here. And therefore the problem is no longer a issue. And that's why he would say over here that it's a good get and it's a kosher get. So then the Gemara says, Lema derabba verova tanai ehi. Based on that, you would suggest that the machloket that we've had between Rabba and Rova in the first perek is actually a machloket tanaim. According to this Lashon, it's the machloket between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda and our Mishnah, which is the Chachamim believe that the issue is Shein Bikim Lishma, and Rabbi Yehuda believes that it's Shein Mitzuyim Lekaimol. So Gemara says, well, Rova mitaretz kalishna kama. Rova is going to say that we'll explain the Mishnah according to the Lishna Kama. So he won't run into this problem. He'll explain everything about Ein Eidim Mitzuyim, and he can explain according to the Lishna Kama. And as Tosfot already pointed out, even Rabba could explain according to the Lishna Kama. But, V'Rabba Amar Lecha D'Kuli Yama Bina Lishma. Rabba says that everybody requires Lishma. V'Hocha B'Maya Eskina N'Lachar Shlamdu. It's after they already were Biki'im in Lishma. U'B'Gzeira Shem Yagzor Advar L'Kuklo Kamiflegei. They're arguing about this gzeirah of Shem Yabzorah Devar Lekukulo, the Mar Sever Gazrinan, Omar Sever Lo Gazrinan. One of them, meaning the Chachamim, worry that we are guzer in this case, whereas Rabbi Yehuda believes that they are not guzer in this case. And that is because Rabba holds of Rava, then we know, if you're talking about Kiyuma Get, we have two here, so that's not a problem. But we still have the Lishma aspect. And Lishma aspect will require you to say Bifanai Nechtam, Fanai Nechtam, and we're going to demand that here as well, even though we have two Eidim that are Shlichim, and even though there are Biki'im in Lishma, and they've already know that. Despite that fact, because we're worried about it going back to Kukulo, we will demand that there's Bifanai Nechtam, Fanai Nechtam. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda says, since two Eidim brought it, therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says there's no reason to make a Gzeira here, because Rabbi Yehuda Sarva lo gazrina to trade the mighty gita lo shchicha lo gazru barabana. The rabbanim will not gozer in that case of Shema Yazor Adar Bar Lekukulo. As Tosfot says, the way that Rashi is explaining it over here is, since two Edim brought it, therefore, the rabbanim will not gozer in that case of Shema Yazor Adar Bar Lekukulo. Tosfot over here disagrees and says, ubechinam perish kein, dafil bechad nami lo gazur. He says Rabbi Yehuda would say it even by a case of one. Because Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have this gzeirah of Shem Yechzor HaDavar LeKukulo, period. And therefore there's no need for Bifanai Nechtam, Bifanai Nechtam. That doesn't matter if it's two Eidim or one Eid that comes. In either case, you do not need Bifanai Nechtam, Bifanai Nechtam because of Shem Yechzor HaDavar LeKukulo, as long as you can overcome the problem of Eidim Mitzuyim. So if you've overcome the problem of Eidim Mitzuyim because you have two here, then the Bifanai Nechtam, Bifanai Nechtam is only because of gzeirah Shem Yechzor HaDavar LeKukulo. And in that case, Rabbi Yehuda says there is no such gezerah. And Tosfot says that whether there's two Eidim that are the Shluchim, or even if one Eid is the Shliach, as long as you have another Eid with him, that would be fine. Rashi already dispelled that conclusion by saying above that there's a difference between two Eidim Mitzuyim versus two Eidim that are Shlichim. Two Eidim that are Shlichim is lo Shchicha, there's no gezerah. In a case of two Eidim, or one's a Shliach, one just testifies to the fact that he knows that this is a good get, then you have Eidim Mitzuyim. Rashi says that's a blow plug, and you have to say Bifanai Nechtam, Bifanai Nechtam. So the Rashi would say that even in Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, that when you have one Eid is the Shliach, that's not enough. Whereas Tosfot says at this point, when the Gemara says Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have this Gzeirah, it means he doesn't have this Gzeirah Legamre, right? Just like by the Rabbanim when they say they have the Gzeirah, it's for one or two Eidim. So the Rabbi Yehuda, when he says there is no Gzeirah, it's also for one or two Eidim. So now the Gemara says, V'liflog nami Rabbi Yehuda Bereisho. If that is really the case, then Rabbi Yehuda should argue even in the Reisha. Meaning that in the case of Bifanai Nechtam by one Eid, and Bifanai Nechtam by another Eid, then according to Rabbi Yehuda, that should be fine, because then you have Eidim Mitzuyim, because they were both appointed as Shlichim. And just because one says Bifanai Nechtam and one says Bifanai Nechtam, that should be alright according to Rabbi Yehuda, because we don't worry about Shem Yechzor HaDavar LeKukulo, we're not worried about Lishma. So in that case, as Rashi says, they're both shlichim. So in terms of kiyuma get, the validation of the get, we have two edim here. Lishma is gone because they already, it's a time period where they know lishma. And he doesn't worry about going back to the original case. If that's the case, even a case where one says bifanai nechtav and one says bifanai nechtam, Rabbi Yehuda should argue in that case. Mar says, hayit marla, marula, chaluka, Rabbi Yehuda, perishona, enochanami. Rabbi Yehuda also argues in that case, he's not just arguing on the case where it's two Eidim saying Ktiva and one Eid saying Chatima, but even one Eid says Ktiva, one Eid says Chatima, Rabbi Yehuda would be arguing even in that case. If he only comes and says, "B'fanai nechtam," or if we have only one aid doing the chatima, and he doesn't say anything about the ktiba, the fear is that that will be confused with the regular kiyum shtarot. The whole idea that this one individual, according to Rava, says, "B'fanai nechtam," "B'fanai nechtam," according to Rava, "B'fanai nechtam" is not important. We don't need the lishma. Lishma is not an issue. So why is "B'fanai nechtam" said at all? It's to distinguish it from regular kiyum shtarot, where you don't have to say "B'fanai nechtam." By doing that, it makes it that the gezerah is very local to get, and will not become confused with shtarot. Fear always is that we're going to confuse it with the regular kiyum shtarot. So that's why the b'fanai nechtam becomes a pivotal point in this. B'fanai nechtam is the problem, because that's where you're using one aid, which isn't true by kiyum shtarot. B'fanai nechtam is where it differentiates it from kiyum shtarot. And by doing that, it shows you that this is a completely independent takana from kiyum shtarot, and people won't confuse the two because of b'fanai nechtam. Question is, how strong does the b'fanai nechtam have to be? Does it have to be the same aid that says b'fanai nechtam says b'fanai nechtam? Or does that aid also have to be a shliach? Or if we have two aidim who are saying it, what is enough to differentiate it from regular kiyum shtarot? And that's really the discussion here, is what amounts to differentiating it from kiyum shtarot, according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to the Chachamim, and according to the two different lashonot. That's really the question at hand. Meitiv Rabbi Hoshaya le'ula. Rabbi Yehuda makshir b'zo v'lo b'acheret. It sounds like from the Mishnah when it states Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, it says Rabbi Yehuda makshir b'zo. Rabbi Yehuda's makshir in this case. Well, usually when you say this case, my love, what does that mean? Lime'ute echad omer b'fanai nechtam, echad omer b'fanai nechtam. Makes it sound like he's only makshir in this specific case, not in the case that was brought just before that in the Mishnah. Meaning that he's cholek in this very particular case. If that's true, then what we just said is not correct. That Rabbi Yehuda argues not only in the case of Shnayim Omrim that it was Nechtab Bifaneinu, and one says Chatima, even in the case of Echad Omer Nechtab Bifanai, and one says Nechtam Lifanai, we said before that Rabbi Yehuda argues even in that case, from this it would make it sound like that's not the case. When it says Lo, Lomote Bifanai Nechtam, Ava Lo Bifanai Nechtab, comes to exclude the case where one aid says it was Chatum in front of me, and we have nobody saying that it was nechtav in front of me. Sakadat chamina ho v'lo gaza Rabbi Yehuda gzeira shem yechzor devar lekukulo. You would think because Rabbi Yehuda thinks that there's no gzeira here about worrying about it going back to the old ways, and therefore he doesn't worry about the shema at all. Maybe he also doesn't worry about the fact that this will get up mixed up with regular kiyum shtarot, and he has no gzeirot associated with this institution of b'fanai nechtav u'b'fanai nechtam. And truthfully, according to Rabbi Yehuda, all you would need is b'fanai nechtam. So that it comes to dispel that havamit, or that possibility within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, k'mash malan, that that's not the case. That Rabbi Yehuda believes that we do worry about it getting mixed up with regular kiyum shtarot, and therefore you do need b'fanai nechtav u b'fanai nechtam. You need both of them in order to differentiate it from regular kiyum shtarot, but he's not gozer about shem yachzor ha-davar l'kul kulo, and therefore whenever you have two edim that are shlichim, there's no question that the get is kasher, because you have all the variables that you need. You have the lekaimo, you have the lishma aspect, because they already became in lishma, and kilkul is not an issue over here, because shema yechzor devar kukulo is not gozer. So in that case, as long as you have b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam, then we are fine, because then it won't get mixed up with kiyum shtarot da'alma. Itmar nami, amri b'yuda, shnaim sheviyu get mi midinat hayam, Banu the machloket Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanan. That is subject to the machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. So Itmar Nami, what does it mean that we also have a memra amubrayim? So the way Rashi reads this is that Itmar Nami, like the Lishna Batra, that we have another memra of amubrayim that says that the explanation of the Mishnah is like the latter Lashon, that even when Shnei Shluchim bring it, it's still not kasher according to the Chachamim. The fact that there's a machloket in the case where Shnaim Sheviyu get, when two people are bringing it from overseas. Unlike the Lishna Kamol, where it's obvious what the Lacha would be, which is that everybody agrees then and it's kasher. Over here in the Lishna Baka, it's a machloket. And this is a corroboration of that fact. Others say that the Marnami is going the last thing that we spoke about, which is that Rabbi Yehuda argues even in B'fanai Nechtab, B'fanai Nechtam, where one aid says b'fanai nechtav and one aid says b'fanai nechtam, he argues even in that case, and that's what the Itmar Nami is coming to address. So Rabba Bar Chana Chalosh, Rabba Bar Chana felt ill. Ola Gabei Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabba, or over here others have v'Rabbana in the Shulei Bay. Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbana, or Rabbi Yehuda and Rabba went to visit him. Ba'u Minei, this is what they asked him. Shnaim Shevi'u get me midinat hayam. Two people who brought a get from overseas. Trichim shomru b'faneinu nechtab b'faneinu nechtam. Do they actually have to say it? Or ain't trichim, or do they not have to say it? Or in essence, is the halacha like the lishna kama? Or is the halacha like the lishna batro? Amalem ain't trichim, they don't have to say it. The halacha is like the lishna kama. Ma ilu yomru b'faneinu girsha milo mehemne. If the two of them testify the fact that in front of us there was a divorce, wouldn't they be believed? And if that's the case, then why do they have to say, b'faneinu nechtab, b'faneinu nechtam, their edut stands by itself, that when you're b'tachin yedei shnehem, that is good get, and why wouldn't they believe? Adachi ata hau chavra. In the interim, this chavra came, shakla b'shraga mikamayu. He blew out, he took the candle from in front of him. Rashi claims, later on we're going to see, it has to do with the Persian invasion of Babel, but as Tosfos points out, that seems unlikely in this case. Rather, this is the Chavraya, where the Zoroastrian clerics that had a strong influence over the culture then in Persia or in Babel. It seems with the beginning of the rise of the Sassanid dynasty in Babel, that correlates with the Chavrai gaining more importance within society. In that they were a small group of individuals, whether they were a tribe or whether they were the Kohanim of the Zoroastrian religion, but they gained a lot of import under the Sassanid dynasty, and that's where this problem starts to arise for the Jews of Babel. And when the Chachamim lived there, they were subject to the rules of these Chavra. We bumped into them in the Gemara in Yevamot on Daf Samech Gimel. There were a certain takanot that came, or gzeirot that came from the Chavra. One of their takanot was that on their holidays, you were not allowed to have fire or light in any place except in their temples. This has to do with the Zoroastrian belief in light and darkness and evil and good. So they came, they were learning, and they had a candle on. So this Chavra came and took it away. Or he blew it out because they weren't allowed to have light, the Yom Eidam. So Amar, Rabbi Barchana says, Rachmana, O Betulcha, O Betula de Bar Esav. Either you take care of us, Hashem, and put us under your wing, or put us under the wing of Bar Esav, under the descendants of Esav. De la Memro de Aromai Malu mi Parsai. That makes it sound like the Arameans were better than the Persians. Seems to be that the word here should be Roma'e, and that the censors changed it to Aroma'e, and therefore the reference here to Aroma'e is to the Romans, which make a lot of sense because they are seen as the Shoshelet of Bnei Esav. I mean that he's asking for being placed under the dominion of Bar Esav, that rather than being placed under the dominion of the Persians, and that means that the Bnei Esav are better. Va'atani Rabbi Chia, my dichtiv. What is it meant by the pasuk? Elokim hevin darka v'yudat mikoma. God understands its ways and He knows its place. Yodei Hakadosh Baruch Yisrael shein yochelim lekabel gzerot aromayim. He realized that they couldn't handle the gzerot of the Romans. Then they couldn't handle them. So they went to Babel in order to preserve Torah. He realized they wouldn't be able to sustain themselves. So he sent them to a location where they could learn Torah and they'd be okay. So it sounds from over here, living in Babel is a better situation or a place where they should be able to learn Torah. So why is Rabbah asking not to be under the dominion of those people that are in Babel? So Lokasha. Ha mikame dinetu chavre the Bavel. That was prior to the case where the chavre came to Bavel. Ha the batra tu chavre the Bavel. That was after they came to Bavel. So over here Rashi says prior and after is bimei kazdim Nebuchadnezzar v'abu merodech uber shatzar. When it was the Babylonians that were ruling over the area, I mean the early kings of Nebuchadnezzar v'merodech Belshazzar was fine. The batra tu chavre is when the Persians took over. When Koresh conquers the area of Babel, that's when the problem started, and that's when the Chavre came to town. Tosafot says, V'kashler beinu tam, dal korchacha chavirim lo aynu parsiim. Says there's no way you can conflate these two peoples and say that the chavirim are the Persians or the Parsiim. Because we have many years where there's no problem with the Persians, and the Jews live under the Persian dominion. They even come back to build Bayit Sheni during the time of the Persians. Here we're talking at a much later date. And he says, the Gemara in other places, in the Yevamot, the one that we just mentioned before, in Samach Gimel and Yevamot, says, Rabbi Yochanan atu chavre le Bavel. From there, it sounds like Rabbi Yochanan gets the news in Eretz Yisrael that the Chavre came to Bavel, and he's worried about them. So it sounds like that happened at a much later date, which makes more sense. But basically what happened was that the Babylonian or Persian governments were open. I would call them secular, but I don't think they're really secular. But they were pluralistic. You could have your own religions. You could do as you please, worship who you please. And that's very true under the Persians, because the whole reason that Koresh sends the Jews back to Eretz Yisrael to build their Beit Sheni is because he believed that everybody should be able to practice their own religion or freedom of religion. It wasn't particular to the Jews. It's interesting. In Ezra and in Nehemiah, when it describes it as being particular to the Jews. It happened to be that he did it for all the nations. But as far as the Navi is concerned, the only one that it matters for is the Jews that they're sent back to build. So there was a tremendous amount of freedom of religion. What seems to happen is that there was this resurgence of Zoroastrianism in the time of Rabbi Yochanan, whether that was because there was an invasion or because the clerics seized control and were much more in control and therefore demanded of the government that they legislate based on the Zoroastrian religion. And that's when it ended up with these gzeirot. That's when things became difficult. And there, Rabbi is saying, better that we be under the dominion of the Aramai than we be under the dominion of the Chavrai. Because these Chavrai are causing us a problem. Before they came to Bavel, Bavel was a great place to live. After they came to Bavel, then it became a very difficult place for the Jews over a period of time. It seems to be that this issue of the Chavrai lasts for a certain amount of time, and the Jews in Bavel flourish once again after that point in time. And it's really here a miniature picture, a microcosm of the golden ages of Jews under different rulers or different religions. Sometimes the Jews were very successful under B'nai Yishmael. And sometimes they were successful under B'nai Esav. And really, depending on the time period and who the rulers were at that time, that preference shifts. And what Rabbi Bar Chana is saying over here, that despite the fact that the Romans were very difficult for the Jews, and it was difficult living under the Roman Empire, at a certain point, the B'nai Yishmael, or those people in Bavel, become such a difficult life over there, that it might even be better under the Romans. And again, Judaism flourishes at different periods, sometimes under B'nai Esav and sometimes under B'nai Yishmael. There's a shifting of the sands depending on who the rulers are at the time. Okay, we're going to stop over here by the two dots on the top of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph.